Twice a week, the New York Times publishes its style section, rich with tips on how to dress and dine. Of course, there are the haters who mock the reports as poorly sourced drivel, but our next guest, Slate contributor Justin Peters, is a firm believer in the infallibility of the section. In fact, he recently set out to use it as a blueprint to become, quote, the trendiest guy in New York City. He says the task was especially daunting, given his pitiable lack of trendiness.
I'm not in a band. You know, I dress very unfashionably. I don't have any tattoos or piercings. I was a horribly lame person.
So you decided to follow the trends that were identified in the style section.
The style section was my beacon, something that could rescue me from this middle-of-nowhere hell in which I found myself.
So tell me about the trends that you identified.
The first one was a beard. Beards are obviously trendy, but what's even more trendy is heartlessly mocking those people who don't have beards.
That's a trend?
Apparently.
Who reported that in the New York Times?
Stephen Kuritz. He said that some men without beards are extremely distressed by their lack of beard-growing capability. They experience pain and suffering and face ridicule from their bearded friends.
Could you grow a beard?
Very badly. I look like a disreputable Mennonite man. I went to the Brooklyn Flea, which is a flea market on the Williamsburg waterfront. If you want to buy a jar of $12 honey lemon mayonnaise, Brooklyn Flea is the place to go. I went there and I tried to scout out some people who didn't have beards, which was very difficult. Nearly 95% of the men there had beards. So I tiptoed up to a man who was beardless and sitting behind a table of eyeglasses. And I said, "Does anyone here ever mock you for not having a beard?" And he said, "Yeah, sometimes they do." And then I saw my opening and I said, "Well, can I mock you for not having a beard?" And he looked a little bit confused, but he said, "Sure, why not?" And I pounced. I said, "Your hairless face is disgusting to me." I felt so trendy after that book. I was walking on air.
Now, there were three trends that involved hair.
That's right.
One involved hair below the waist, which we probably won't go into here, but there was one involving the hair on your head.
The man bun, I think that's what you're thinking of. Now, we all know buns from school marms and Katharine Hepburn and some of her movies. But according to the Times, the man bun is the arty hairdo of choice in hip neighborhoods like Williamsburg and Bushwick.
Had you been seeing it?
No, I hadn't been seeing it, but I trust the Times. So I grew my hair out a little bit. It was very painful to actually twist it into a bun. But once I had it, I felt like a part of something.
Something bigger than yourself?
Something bigger than myself, which I guess is the point of this entire experiment.
Reactions?
I went to this streetwear fashion show where the latest in board shorts and artisan hats were being demonstrated. I was walking around showing people my head, expecting to be lauded as one of the group. And, you know, no one said a thing. And it was very disturbing to me. Someone even asked me if I wanted to have a free haircut. And I'm like, no, my hair is trendy as is. It's in a bun, you see.
Were there any other trends that would have the potential for either shocking or annoying or delighting your wife?
Apparently, it's very trendy to use British phrases in casual conversation. Words like cheers when you're signing off for an email, or Bob's your uncle when you're talking about someone's uncle.
No, not when you're talking about someone's uncle.
As an expression of delight. So I went to the Wikipedia entry for British slang and I made a list. And I tried to wait for the appropriate time to use it. And that time came a couple of weeks ago when Hurricane Sandy left me without power for about a week. So I cried, "Well, this is all to cock."
All to cock?
Well, that's exactly what my wife said. This is the problem, Brooke. If you want to be trendy, you have to surround yourself with other trendy people. Otherwise, you just elicit puzzlement and confusion.
Why did you leave some trends on the table?
Apparently, it's very popular to, on Twitter or other social media, claim that someone who no one has heard from for a while has died, and then just watching the chaos that erupts that way. I drew up some plans to incapacitate Jim Neighbors. Slate told me I couldn't go through with it. Lawsuits always get in the way of trendiness.
So what do you say to people who criticize the Times style section? In your mind, does it still reign supreme as the authority on how to live fabulously?
Absolutely. There are a lot of people out there who think the Times style section is a specious, questionably sourced link bait. I am not one of those people. Lamewads like me shouldn't mock the Times. We should learn from it.
Okay, so you know that your lack of trendiness is the ultimate in trendiness, right? Come on.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, I will see an article in the Times saying just that. And then, you know, I'll be able to die happy.
And shave?
Yes. Because, you know, this scruff is not appealing to anybody.
Justin, thank you very much.
My pleasure, Brooke.
Justin Peters is the trendiest guy in New York City. He's also a contributor to Slate and an editor at the Columbia Journalism Review.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Jamie York, Alex Goldman, PJ Vogt, Sara Abdurrahman, Chris Neary, and Doug Anderson, with more help from Krista Ripple. And it was edited by Brooke. Our technical director is Jennifer Munson. Our engineer this week was Ken Feldman.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer. Ellen Horn is WNYC's senior director of national programs. Bassist composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find transcripts and read our fabulous blog at onthemedia.org. You can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter, and I really think you should follow us on Twitter. You can email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. On the Media is produced by WNYC and distributed by NPR. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
Brooke, what do you believe our listeners should do with respect to our Twitter feed?
They should follow it, Bob.
Ah, I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Jane Marcher Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC Radio. This is NPR.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.